The whole goal again of this retreat is tools to help you to discern God's will, to do God's will. And you might say, how and why are angels related to doing God's will and Ignatian discernment? My brothers and sisters, there's a lot that is missing in our lives. Angels are mentioned in the Bible over 200 times. Demons are mentioned 115 times. The devil is mentioned 33 times. If you were to look just at the New Testament, every single time an angel is mentioned, an angel appears to Zechariah, an angel appears to the Blessed Virgin Mary, an angel appears to Saint Joseph, angels appear to the shepherds, angels minister to our Lord in the desert, an angel goes to Jesus when he's agonizing in the garden and brings him consolation. Angels are constantly found. Angels free Saint Peter from jail. There's a verse I read this morning that said, be kind to strangers, because so many times we have unknowingly entertained angels. Angels are a normal part of the Christian life, and I'm going to share with you how they help you to do God's will. But before we do that, we need to be very clear. What is an angel? An angel is a non-corporeal being. That means a being that does not have a corpus, that does not have a body. It is pure intellect. Angels understand everything about the created world. So you go to school to learn about science, to learn about biology, to learn math. An angel does not have to go to school. It can look at the human body, and in an instant, it knows everything about the biology of man and the nature of man. Because they're pure intellect, they communicate using their intellect. We would call this one word for the way they communicate is through illumination. It's almost as if a light bulb goes off in your brain and there is understanding. I have no doubt many of you have been receiving communications from angels all throughout your life. A good example of this, one that I can easily refer to in my own life, I was studying my math. And at night, I would not understand the math problems. And I would go to bed not understanding it. Then the next morning, I would take a shower. And when I'm not even thinking about math, all of a sudden, in my mind comes this, it's like a little packet of light that drops into my brain. And all of a sudden, there's this understanding concerning the problem. And then I look at the problem, and I'm like, I get it now. All of a sudden, this little illumination happens into the brain. That's grace. So they're not just pure intellect, they have free will. Their wills are extraordinarily strong. If God permitted it, even the lowest angel could destroy the entire world if God permitted it, a single angel. An angel is pure spirit, it's pure intellect, very intelligent, and it has a very strong will. Now, angels are mentioned in the Old and New Testament. We only know the names of three angels, St. Michael, St. Raphael, and St. Gabriel. There's many, many more, but these are the only angels that you need to know about. The last part of every angel name is El, which means God. So St. Michael means who is like unto God, and we get that from Scripture. Satan rebels against God, and Michael responds, who is like unto God? Gabriel means the strong man of God. So every name has to do with that particular angel's role. So the angel Gabriel came to announce the strong man of God. Saint Raphael means God heals. And we see him in the book of Tobit working miracles of healing. Also, he's a patron of love. So you don't need to know any other angels' names. Sometimes pious people will say, oh, did you name your angel? Do not name your angel. Why? Because your angel is of extraordinarily higher magnitude than you. It would be as if you allowed a dog to name the owner. It just wouldn't happen. Why? Because angels are of a higher order than us. Also, you should not ask for the names of angels. You don't know who's going to respond. I need you to understand angels so that you can understand the grave importance of your guardian angel. The most neglected saint in your life is your very own guardian angel. So a saint is anybody that's in heaven. You have an angel that was created by God specifically for you. So I love Saint Teresa. I love Padre Pio. I love Saint Jude. I love Maximilian Kolbe. And I think about them and I talk to them a lot. But they weren't created for me. This is very important. This is why we're bringing this up. Your guardian angel was created for you to do what? God's will. The only reason your guardian angel exists. So an immortal being that lasts for all of eternity was created specifically for you because God's will for your life is so important. God created a being that's far greater than you simply to help you to do God's will. That is the only purpose of the existence of your guardian angel. Your guardian angels act and act on a regular basis, but they are only concerned about one thing, you doing God's will. When you have a firm set in your mind and in your heart, I am going to do God's will, I am going to strive to do God's will, I am going to strive to know God's will, then and only then will you begin to see your angel work on a daily basis and in extraordinary ways. I'll give you a couple of examples. Let's say your heart is set on the will of God. Your angel's going to help you to do what you cannot do on your own. That's why God gave you an angel. So your heart is set on God's will. And you have to do an assignment, and you have to do it on the computer, and you start to type in your assignment, you're doing your homework, you want to do your homework, and then you get an email or something, and you get sidetracked, and now you're on another website that you never planned to go to. And now all of a sudden, something on your computer, the screen flashes. All of a sudden, or your mouse is not working all of a sudden. Is that a coincidence? Absolutely not. When you have your heart set on the will of God, there are no coincidences. Thomas Aquinas says that your angel is your secondary cause. That means God is the first cause. God wants to use your angel to help you do other things. So when you get an inspiration, that inspiration doesn't have to come through your angel, but God wills it. So your angel will interfere when you have this. So that your mouse isn't working, what should you do? God, what do you want? Is there anything you would like? Yeah, get back to work. Oh yeah, I can't believe it. I was off task. This happens so often. You might even be on the verge of a sin, and then all of a sudden, something strange happens. Now again, this is only when you have your heart set on God's will, and you, without realizing it, are getting distracted. You cannot say, I am going to abandon God's will. I know what I'm doing is about to be bad, but my guardian angel will help me. No, that's different, because now you're choosing to go against God's will. So that's different. How else does your angel work? Illuminations, and we're going to talk about this more in a moment. Your guardian angel communicates to you in the brain, and it doesn't necessitate you working very hard or pushing buttons in yourself. A lot of times people, when I'm praying, I don't do it on purpose, but people will say, why are you always nodding? Why are you always going like this? And it's because I'm getting little mental packets in my brain, and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I understand now. Now I know what I'm going to talk about. And then I'm kind of going from one little... I just visualize like a little droplet of light from other droplet of light. And so you will get that if you're striving to do God's will. These are graces of understanding. The purpose of grace, of course, is to enlighten your intellect and to help you strengthen your will to do God's will. Your guardian angel will do extraordinary and odd, crazy things. Just the other day, I was talking to somebody. I was supposed to be doing God's will. I got distracted. They're talking to me, and a bug flies and hits me right in the forehead. And I was like, well, that was weird. And then I kept talking because I'm so low IQ. Then a ladybug lands right on my forehead. And I'm like, and it keeps trying to land right here. And they're like, oh, you got bugs. And I said, I know, what's going on? And then I was like, oh, wait, because I know that God is working through coincidences to get my attention. There's no such thing as a coincidence when you're trying to do God's will. Now, sometimes you're off doing something and God will, through divine intervention, try to pull you back on track, even if your will is not set on His. They will also protect you physically. Set your heart on the will of God. Very, very, very important. You have so much help available to you, but first and foremost, you have to be striving to do God's will. Now, briefly, while we're on the topic, there are three hierarchies of angels. So the choirs of angels can be divided into three subgroups. So there's a supreme hierarchy, which is like the seraphim, the cherubim. Then you have the middle hierarchy. Then you have the lower hierarchy. The lowest of all the angels is your guardian angel. I couldn't tell you them all, but it's really not important. St. Augustine was asked on one occasion, do you know the nine choirs of angels and what they all do. He's like, I kind of do, and he's a doctor of the church. But to be honest with you, it really does not matter. It's kind of like information that occupies space in your brain that's not going to be beneficial to you. Something that is important to know, the life of an angel has three stages. We call them the three instances of the angels. The first instance is their creation. So St. Augustine again says that this is referred to in the book of Genesis. God created the heavens and the earth. He separated the light from the darkness. And then later on, he creates the sun and all these things. That light from darkness that is separated, St. Augustine says, is a reference to the angels. So the first instance of the angels is their creation. The second instance of the angels is their trial, their test. Because they're pure intellect, they do not have a lifetime to make a decision. They do not need a lifetime to make a decision. Because you and I have a body and a mind, God gives us an entire lifetime to try and discern and to give our lives to Him. The angels don't need a lifetime. They don't want a lifetime. And then the third instance of the angels is either their damnation or their beatific vision. So the trial of the angels, we know, has something to do with the revelation to the angels that God was going to become man. So the eternal God was going to take a lower nature and elevate the lower nature above angels, which is a big deal. Many theologians say, and where am I getting a lot of this, just in case you don't know? So we're getting this from Scripture, we're getting this from St. Augustine, we're getting this from Pseudo-Dionysius the Areopagite, and we're getting this from Thomas Aquinas. So other theologians, they also insinuate that the Virgin Mary had a great deal to do with this. So either that, the bad angels knew that God was going to become a man through a woman, or what many saints also believe is that the angels were revealed to them that not just was God going to become a man and elevate human nature above angelic nature by grace, but that also a pure woman, a pure creature, the weaker of the two sexes, was going to be made the queen of the angels. And at that point, Satan said, no, that's just too much, not doing it. And at that point, 1/3 of all the angels fell. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because there are good angels and there are bad angels. The demon in sacred scripture is referred to as the father of lies. I bring this up to you because you have three things working against you doing God's will. We're going to discuss the first thing now and the latter two in the next talk. So one is that you have bad angels, but remember this. They are non-corporeal beings. They are not monsters. They are not physically scary. You watch scary movies because scary movies sell tickets. It's a lie from the devil to make you think that we cannot talk about bad angels because it's going to scare children. There's nothing to be afraid about. There's like 100 angels in this room, but you've not been scared to know that. It's just a reality. They're here. This is not a creature that wants to scare you. Why? Think about what would happen. Let's imagine Giovanni's at home and a bad angel's like, I'm going to eat you. And then he doesn't eat you. But let's say that happened. What is he going to do? Quick, we must put up a banner just like at the retreat. Put up a divine mercy real big on my door. We're going to have holy candles everywhere. We're going to pray the rosary in my room every single night. We're going to put holy water everywhere. We're going to pray the divine mercy chaplet at 3 p.m. The devil does not want that. He would not do that because that would drive you to extraordinary acts of piety. That is not his goal. The desire of the devil is one thing and one thing alone. Head above heels, he wants nothing more than for you to suffer his fate as well. Eternal damnation. That is his desire for you. So I mentioned the third act of the angels. So 1/3 of all the angels were cast out of heaven. God didn't have to get St. Michael to do it, but wills that he uses as secondary causes. The demons carry hell around with them as if they're in a cloud. They're roaming the earth and they carry their hell with them. They're in constant torment. Your guardian angel, the good angels, are experiencing the beatific vision. They are experiencing their heaven here and now. If the devil cannot get you to go to hell, which is his primary desire, his number one desire is to keep you from doing God's will, either in extraordinary ways by getting you to sin mortally or to get you to lose the glory that God has for you. He wants you to do God's will imperfectly, either through fear or through doubt or through anxiety or through temptation. He's trying to decrease the amount of glory you have. Also, he does not want you to do God's will because, again, what did I say that was God's will? God's will provides peace. God's will provides your way for sanctification. And finally, God's will provides for you the ability to help other souls go to heaven. So his number one desire is to keep you from doing God's will, to keep you from having confidence in him. Your guardian angel's number one desire is to inspire you to greatness, to protect you, to assist you in doing God's will. St. Ignatius of Loyola is a spiritual master. If you ever have a question concerning movements of the heart, movements of the mind, we are now going to categorize them. Those inspirations you get, those little packets of light, we call those consolations. So St. Ignatius puts these two movements in categories. You have three voices constantly talking. God, and he speaks to you through his angels. He speaks to you through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you through the Virgin Mary. He speaks to you through your guardian angel. We call these consolation. Anytime there's any movement from God, the fruit of consolation, that means how you know it's from God, I feel peace. I feel confidence. I feel a desire to be holy. I have a strength to pray. I have a strength to stand up for the righteous. I'm willing to sacrifice. Sometimes you have seasons of consolation where it's not just a moment, but you're feeling good for like a week or for several days. That's great. What the devil does, and this can come from Satan, it can come from any sort of evil spirit, these are called desolations. The desolations vary. You need to be aware that you have voices communicating to you, and they're not always your own voice. We'll talk about your own voice in a moment. Desolations include laziness, sloth, any temptation to sin that's external. So you, we'll talk about this in the next talk, you have concupiscence, as I'm sure you're all aware of, a disordered attraction to sin. But in addition to that, you also have an outside voice that will encourage you, that he wants to sound a lot like your voice. Because again, if you're aware of who this voice is, you're more tempted not to listen to it. But if you're already tired, let's say, for example, during consolation, you're on this retreat, you're feeling the fire of the Holy Spirit, you feel like God is saying to you very clearly, pray the rosary every day. Like, and you feel that in your heart. You have this consolation. So part of the way that you know God's will is when this inspiration comes and it's followed with consolation. Let me take a pause. Three ways that I can know God's will. An overwhelming knowledge, an overwhelming mental understanding, a mental clarity, overwhelming mental clarity. I just have a mental certitude, so overwhelming. Overwhelming tugging of the heart. So it's very clear. Overwhelming tugging of the heart, or a preponderance, an extraordinary amount of good reasons. So let's say you're discerning going to one school or the other, you're discerning moving to one city or the other, you pray about it, and God will either put it in your heart, I really got to get out of this town, I really got to take this job. You'll have an overwhelming mental understanding, if I take this job, that'll enable me to do this, it'll enable me to do that, it'll enable me to do X, Y, and Z. Or you don't have the mental or the heart, but you do your own research and the evidence is overwhelming. And this is the easiest way to know God's will. You got to pray for these things. So you've come here, you feel the overwhelming sense in your heart, I must pray the rosary every day. I have to take God with me. Then you get home and you go through desolation. You've had a rough day at school, you're tired, you hear a little voice in your head say, you're tired, you're a student, you don't have time to pray. And then you say, yeah, you're right, you pray tomorrow. Yeah, good idea. And it's like that idea did not come from you. You kind of see, yeah, it's appealing to your weaker nature. So that would be a desolation, a temptation to commit a sin. Whenever your body is tempted to do a sin, your heart is moved in a certain way, you're stirred up, you hear an external voice that says, you know, that person's a real jerk. How dare they say that about me? How dare they tell that other person what I did? And then your conscience is like, dude, you need to forgive. You need to chill out. Then you hear that little voice says, no, they hurt your feelings. You're right. And then this anger wells up inside of you. So he's egging you on, egging you on. So one is consolation, peace, joy, happiness, sacrifice, holiness. Desolation is saying a lot of things. Don't be devout. Don't pray. Appeals to your weaker nature. Tempts you to commit sin. And a big one, anxiety and worry. Oh my goodness. So many times in Scripture, our Lord says, I clothe the lilies of the field. Do not worry about what you will eat. Do not worry about what you will drink. Do not worry about your clothes. Live in the present moment. Does your father not give this? Does your father not give that? Anybody who asked their father for a fish, would anybody hand that person a stone or a snake? God loves you, and the devil's saying, no, he doesn't. You have to worry. Now, what do you do in times of desolation? There's a lot to say about this. You never change your plan. Let's say me and you are on a hiking trip, and when you can see me, when we have clarity, that's kind of like when you're in consolation. And I say to you, on the other side of that lake over there, you're going to walk all the way around it. I will meet you there at 10 a.m. There's a big cross over there. Follow my instructions. And you say, yes, sir. I say, no matter what, you just walk around this path until you get there. You say, yes, sir. Desolation is like a strong fog that sets in. I no longer hear Gabe's voice, God's voice. What do you do when the fog sets in? Follow through with the resolution you made in consolation. Go and meet me exactly where we agreed to meet me. So sometimes God allows us to go through moments because our spiritual life is like this, up and down, up and down. Everybody goes through desolation. Never change a resolution you made when you were in consolation. This applies to every vocation, every vocation. Seminarians who enter the seminary, they're going to go, even if it's God's will and they have the peace initially, that peace goes away. Then they see a beautiful woman, or then prayer time is tough, or they see a family, and then they're moved. Oh, I'm so lonely. I'm so this and so that. They're feeling agitated. They feel like God is far away. And then they say, I must leave my vocation. Never, never, never abandon a resolution you made while you were in consolation. This happens in married life as well. Things are so tough. My husband and my wife were struggling so much. Our kids are such a pain. Oh, oh, oh. Never change anything while you're in desolation. Always stick to the plan. Only make changes when it's possible. Once you're married, once you're ordained priest, it's too late. But when you're discerning these things, only make changes when you're in consolation. So for example, you're in your room. The devil's saying to you, go to sleep, go to sleep. What do? Stick to the plan. You fight it manfully. You say, no, I'm going to double down. I'm going to fight. When you're tempted to impurity, you're tempted to anger, you're tempted to laziness, you say, no, I am going to fight. And then only when you are in consolation, only when you clearly see the face of God or hear his voice, only then, and then only, do you reevaluate. You only reevaluate where you're going on the map when you have clarity, clarity, clarity. Never make a decision when you're hectic, because that's when the devil wants to pounce on you. Now, I'm going to give you a little tip. This is called a binding prayer. You are only allowed to say a binding prayer over yourself or your legitimate subordinates. So I, as a father, can pray a binding prayer over myself or over my spouse or any of my children. If you're a woman, you can pray a binding prayer over the father. The father can pray a binding prayer over the woman. The woman can pray over her children because those are her legitimate subordinates. She has a certain authority over them. You do not pray binding prayers over anybody else other than yourself. I'll teach you how to pray it. And you should not pray it more than 3 times. Why do I say that? Because then you'll turn into a neurotic nut walking around. In the name of Jesus and Mary, I bind you, Spirit. In the name of Jesus. No. The devil wants to take you away from God's will, and it is not God's will that you walk around like a neurotic nut binding everything like if a demon is everywhere. No. How do I know if I'm having an extraordinary temptation? If I'm trying to do God's will and there's something that is tugging me away from it. So for example, if you're overwhelmingly tired, You're supposed to be working. You've eaten well. You've slept well. There's no physical reason why you should have this great mental fog, for example. Or you're overwhelmed with worry and anxiety or fear. Sometimes when I give talks for my YouTube, I'll go and my assistants will testify. I'll turn the camera on and I'll be like, hey, I can barely say a single word. And then I'll, I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't say anything. And then, they'll look at me this thing. I don't know what's wrong with you. And then I'll say, in the name of Jesus and Mary, I bind you, spirit of pride. I bind you, spirit of fear. I bind you, spirit of anxiety. And I cast you to the foot of the cross to be judged by the Lord. And after that, it's like, I talk nonstop for 20 minutes. It works. So I'll tell you the prayer. In the name of Jesus and Mary, I bind you, spirit of blank, and I cast you to the foot of the cross to be judged by the Lord. I bind you, spirit of fear. I bind you, spirit of depression. I bind you, spirit of anxiety. I bind you, spirit of lust. I bind you, spirit of hatred. Whatever it is that's moving on you that you know is wrong, that you seem not to have a control over, in the name of Jesus and Mary, I bind you, spirit of blank, and I cast you to the foot of the cross to be judged by the Lord. What is a binding? It's like tying handcuffs around a wrist, and I cast you out, and it's not by your authority, but by the name of Jesus and Mary, and you say it firmly with a strong resolution, but you do not do it any more than three times, okay? Do not do it any more than three times. Not everything is the devil, folks. You can have mental issues, and you can have clinical depression and all these various things. So you give it a shot. If it clears up, if not, go drink some coffee, all right? When you're in desolation, St. Ignatius of Loyola doesn't just say, ignore the desolation, think of good times. He says, double down on your pious devotions. Be patient. Ask God for divine assistance. Very important. So you know God's will by your legitimate superiors. You know God's will from your conscience. You know God's will from the Ten Commandments. You hear the voice of the Lord in sacred scripture. You set your sight on that. But you need to be aware that there are three voices talking to you. Now, we're not going to talk much about any other way that the devil influences you. We're going to talk briefly about an extreme temptation. You will come upon moments in your life where you have extreme temptations, meaning that your mind is so overwhelmed with a particular temptation. That is not normal. So we're just going to use the example of a temptation to lust. The human body often acts up. You can wake up in the middle of the night, you can just be a normal person, and all of a sudden your body's acting up in a natural way, and what you have to do is say, nope, not going to think about that, I'm not going to act on that. But you might find yourself, on occasion, so overwhelmed, almost as if a cloud is in your mind, and you cannot get over that. That is not natural, that is preternatural. And so in that case, St. Ignatius of Loyola says, you resist these temptations with pious actions, calling upon, in particular, the Blessed Virgin Mary. One of the charisms of the Virgin Mary is to crush the head of the serpent. Who is the serpent? The one who brings desolation. So Mary crushes desolation. She's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. What is another name for the Holy Spirit? The Consoler. So the Virgin Mary crushes desolation and she brings consolation. Never was it known that anybody who fled to her protection was left unaided. The problem is we don't flee to her protection. We give up. The thing that the devil initially attacks is our Marian devotion. Again, we'll talk about that more tomorrow. And then ask yourself, why might this be happening to me? What does the devil know about me? How special I am, how God has a plan for me, that he's trying to sidetrack me so hard. So every human, even if you're saintly, is going to experience extraordinary temptation. That understood? You only have to worry about scary things if you are living in mortal sin or if you deal with the occult. So we're not going to get into that, but I am going to warn you about some scary things that might be given to you that you absolutely 100% must avoid because they are a grave sin against the first commandment, and then you will have spiritual problems. And I know you're thinking, well, that's never going to happen. Brothers and sisters, girls are so into witchcraft. Girls who don't have religion are deeply searching for religion. Just last night, I had a young man, very holy, pious guy who's African culture. He wears his rosary around his neck. He's very pious and devout. And he said, "Mr. Gabe, a girl gave me this bracelet yesterday, and ever since I put it on, I've been feeling really weird. What is it?" He knew something was bad about it. He knew it. And I looked at it, and it was a bracelet that had eyeballs all around it. And I said, "Dude, take that off." "Why?" "That's the evil eye. That's a cult practice. That's a witchcraft. Take that off." "She gave it to me. She told me that it'll protect me." I was like, "No, you already have protection from God. That's going to curse you." But people have a deep longing because we're spiritual. So I'm just going to warn you about a couple things that people play as a joke that will cause problems and will cause an absurd amount of extraordinary temptations and other home issues. We're just going to go through these very quickly. These are not games. Hispanic culture, some African culture, some Asian culture, they have a lot of these practices. Using tarot cards, as you know, don't do it. Ouija board, they sell Ouija boards at Target. Some people do that at parties for fun. Do not do it. I bring this up also because we have kids in our faith formation who say in high school that their teacher brought a Ouija board and was asking them to play it, just kind of like you bring games to school to play. They're doing Ouija board in their geography class. Okay, that's not good. Fortune telling, spirit healers, ghost hunting, statues of false gods, witchcraft books, using crystals. In an HEB and in Food Town right there, they sell candles of a guy with a skeleton and they call it Santa Muerte. Do not light candles to Santa Muerte. It is not a joke. That is a false demon. That is a false god. Of course, scripture says that the gods of the pagans are demons. Do not light them. Fathered into a house because the house was having these extraordinary things happen, particularly in a room because the son was from Mexico and he was in gangs and he was devoted to Santa Muerte. Don't do it. Again, we're only bringing this up because it's in the same general realm of categories. New Age books and spirituality, curses and spells. I met a priest who had, before he was a priest, somebody had put a curse on him. All sorts of crazy stories. Don't do those things. Seances, items of false religion, abortion, obviously, any mortal sin. And then these are the two that most people get entangled with. Ready? These are the ones, the two that you really need to watch out for that will ensnare you and trap you. Number one, pornography. Pornography is the number one gateway in a person's house to bring the devil into your home. And then people become addicted to it. They become enslaved to it. And a lot of times they'll say, "Well, just stop." And they can't because it's one of these greater temptations, this mental fog that comes over them. And the only way out is through divine intervention. That's why if you have a smartphone, you better be very careful. If I were to hand you my phone and I would say, "Here, get on the internet," you would not be able to get on the internet on my phone. I have it locked down. A lot of times parents, they say, "Oh, my son, he needs a way to contact me after school. And what if he gets in a car accident and he needs a map?" That's like me saying, "Mr. Gabe, do you have a knife so I can unlock my envelopes for the mail?" And I say, "Yes, I have a knife. It's attached to the end of this gun. Here you go. Open your letters." Like, sure, you can use it for that. But what I'm handing you is overkill. Similarly, kids don't need to be on the internet with open browsers walking around their house, and then they get tempted to do a particular thing, then they fall into one sin, next thing you know, they're addicted. Wow, it's horrible. So that, and then bad music. The girls start listening to this music, and then they start to emulate, and then they start to dress like, and then they start to act like, and then they quote-unquote idolize some of these music celebrities. I don't want you to look, but if you were to like watch the Video Music Awards, VMAs, MTV Music Awards, a lot of times the females, they come out dressed in occult outfits. Katy Perry, Beyonce, they will wear black leather suits, and they'll have little horns on their head. Very, very ugly things. Avoid these things. God has willed for you to have a pure mind and a pure heart so you can do His will. Is that going to mean that you have to be different? Yes. I bring these up to you now only because they're in the similar ballpark, since we're already talking about angels and how they can tempt you. You normally don't have to worry about this. The main thing we need to get across to you is that you have voices, some that are really truly trying to help you to do God's will. Listen to that voice. We've seen cartoons with like a little good angel over here and a little bad angel over here. And then the cartoon is like, And then the guy always goes for the bad angel. Just be aware that there are voices that don't want what's best for you. And when you choose God's will, consolation comes. It comes and it goes. Why does God allow this? To strengthen us. The saints who've put their heart on the will of God have experienced interventions of their angels. Saint Gemma used to have her guardian angel deliver letters to her spiritual director, who was in an entirely different city. Saint Thomas Aquinas, when he was tempted by a female prostitute, soon after he overcame this temptation, two angels appeared to him, tied a golden cincture around his waist, and rewarded him for overcoming this temptation so that he was never tempted to impurity ever again. He's one of the most brilliant people who's ever lived. Thomas Aquinas would say, those who give in to lust, it darkens the intellect and it weakens their will. So if he never had this temptation, no shocker that his intellect was so grand. Saint John Bosco, his life was guarded on several occasions because he worked with troubled youth, and everywhere he went, street children went. So the authorities were like, especially because they were Masonic at that time, anti-religious. They hated John Bosco, so they tried to kill him on several occasions. They even had him wrapped up in a bag and tied up. A gray dog would appear out of nowhere, bite the people trying to kidnap him, opened the bag, and freed him. And this dog went with him everywhere and protected him on a regular basis. And he would say, oh, that's El Grigio. That's my guardian angel. Sometimes he appears as a gray dog. Your angel loves you. You need to foster a relationship with your angel. Many priests, experts in angelology, they say, as much as you give to your angel, that's how much they give to you. You are never, ever, ever alone. Your guardian angel is with you everywhere. Talk to your angel familiarly and with great love. Send your angel on errands. Before this retreat, I sent my guardian angel to all of your guardian angels, and I said to him, pray, pray, pray that the soil may be open and fertile, that they can hear this word and accept it. And they're like, heck yeah, we want our pupils to know about us. They barely ever pray to us. So how can you foster a devotion to your angels? You've already done it. Pray the St. Michael prayer daily. I add it at the end of every rosary that I do. And pray your guardian angel prayer. It doesn't have to be a difficult prayer. Just pray it. Acknowledge them before you go to bed. They love you. They're standing guard. They're not babies. A lot of times we see pictures of angels and they look like babies, or they look like women, or they look like men. And you're like, why is my angel gender fluid? I don't understand. The reason is they don't have a body. They look like babies because they're so pure. They have images of wings because they can go from one place to another instantaneously. So that's why they look the way they do in art, but they're all around us. They're in this room. They're praying for us. And in particular, they're present at the Holy Mass. Whenever Father brings our Lord here, you're not going to see it, but there's going to be angels filling this room, just angels who are wandering around with their heads prostrate on the ground, giving worship and honor to God. All right, let's conclude in prayer. Please kneel. Let's take 10 to 20 seconds to recollect ourselves. Be aware that our angel is present, that he loves us, that he was created for us, that he thinks about us day and night. He never sleeps. He's always watching over us. We ask you, guardian angel, for the special favors that God has designed for you to give us, for the favors that God has willed only be given for those who have a devotion to their angels. Help us to know God's will for our life more clearly. Help us to surrender ourselves more strongly. Help us to resist temptation more manfully or womanfully. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and to guard, to rule and to guide. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for watching this video. I really hope you enjoyed it. This is just one in a 6-part retreat that I gave. I'm going to be releasing these once a week for the next 6 weeks. So go ahead and share it now so that your family and friends don't get left behind. Also, hit subscribe because we have amazing productions coming up. We have a documentary on Saint Therese coming up. We have a documentary on the life of Mother Angelica. Also, I know you noticed me noticing that I was wearing a sweet hoodie during that little retreat that I gave. Where did I get that hoodie? I don't sell these hoodies, but my assistant, she's got an incredible Etsy store. It's called Mama Mary's Merch. You love that alliteration? Well, you can get a hoodie just like this and many other things there. I will put links in the description below. God bless you. God love you. And we'll see you very soon.